Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts
Welcome to On the Edge, the place where the conversation is pointed. I'm pointing at you, brains. Can you see that? All of you. The conversation is sharp, and we have the most exciting guest today. Again, here on the edge, we have Paulette Hamill from Wisconsin. There's cheese in Wisconsin, brains. We're going to talk to her about that. Is the cheese really that good in Wisconsin? I hope so. We're going to talk about pre-planning estates, estate planning, wills, trust, your beneficiaries, your life insurance, what that looks like, leaving a legacy, getting your stuff together, brains, because I'm telling you, folks is dropping like flies. I mean, you turn on the television and they're here today and they're gone 15, 20 minutes later. So it's not about long-term. Young people die too, unfortunately. You don't have to be old with some debilitating disease. And then what do you do with your family? You know, they're fighting over your caucus. You know, what Aunt Betty should have got, the silverware, and this, that, and the other. So all that's a waste of time. Also, she has another niche, fashion. We're gonna talk about a video that she did on Facebook, packing. There's several things that she did, super great suggestions on how to pack one bag for a great trip. But there's one thing that she doesn't do that I do. So we're going to talk about that. And she has a book. She's an author. So there's so much to cover with Miss Paulette Hamill. Welcome to the edge.
Thank you. Love to be here.
Yeah, I love those pictures of wolves in the back. Is that one of your spirit animals?
You know what? It is not a spirit animal, but it is an animal that is of my spirit, if that makes sense.
Ooh, that makes sense.
Right? And I just wanted, it's funny you even mentioned this. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and they were saying, wow, what is that art behind you? And I said, that is the support that I have. This is me leaning on others, community, family, or whatever for the support I need. And that's what I do to offer to others. So it is by Marion Ross. Marion Rose is the artist, and I love it. Love the colors, love the imagery, and just really full of me.
Powerful. It spoke to me. I have two spirit animals. Mine is an elephant and an owl.
Wow.
And within my office, you will see a lot of Native American artwork. You'll see a lot of things that really represent both of those. And a Native American woman gave that to me as a gift in Yosemite. And I just really couldn't, you know, connect the dots until she told me that those were my spirit animals. So again, there is a kindred spirit there. But you are doing some wonderful things in the world. Tell us a little bit about your history and how you started in this world of estate planning and really kind of helping people get prepared for long term.
Yeah, let me clarify. I don't do the estate planning. What happened is I went through my own estate planning and came up with a list of documents and things that were needed. And I just thought, holy cow, this is something that if I put together in a package after doing all the homework and the heavy lifting to let people know, this is what you need for a will. This is what you need for estate planning. This is what you need for all these other levels of preparedness when your time comes, so that you're leaving as gift to the people that are left behind, they know what to do. And then on top of all of that is like, what do we do with our pets? What do we do with our businesses, right? Succession planning. So that led me to a cause and to write a book. And the book is actually an organizer that has the resources. It has the pages for you to fill out. You sit down and finish this book. You've got everything you need.
Where's the book? Okay. See the book?
Well, I don't have the book here, but you can write to hello@paulettehamill.com, and I would be more than happy to send people the information for it.
Okay.
Yep. And then I just wanted to say that if you filled this out and took it to an estate planning attorney, they will have everything they need to be able to complete a will and documentation for you. And what happens is this is actually going to save you close to $2,500. because they don't have to ask you all these questions and give you these papers one at a time, which becomes a formulaic method for these experts to be able to go and sit down with you. And I'm just saying, you can save some money, do this up front. You can actually have this prepared and have this book aside, and it can be good enough for people to find the information. But if you want to dot your I's and cross your T's and make sure that your estate is top notch and everything is covered, you want to take it to an attorney, have it reviewed, have it notarized, and have it witnessed. And that way you've got it lock, stock, and barrel.
I know, we did ours. And you know what? It's a whole psychological trip too.
Yeah.
Because you've got to think about really, you know, your succession plan. Do I really want to leave, you know, $500,000 to somebody that's going to squander it? What is going to happen to my plants? I mean, my my plants too, because I love my plants. But my pet, what's going to happen to her baby?
Yeah.
No.
And a lot of people don't think about that. They think, oh, you know, just take, for example, the grandpa and grandma and somebody older, and they get put into assisted living. The assisted living doesn't take the pet. The pet passes to the family. The family just kind of like, well, here's the toys. Well, here's the bed. And I'll just continue feeding the food. And this dog ends up living 10 years. Well, there are times when people don't have the luxury of passing that dog on to a family, knowing that it's going to be cared for, and have to turn around and be like, now what do we do with the pet? The person has died. Nobody's coming in to claim the pet or to take care of them. Now it goes into a society or somewhere where they're going to take and try and find a new home.
Or you have one of those grandmas that have 15 cats.
Correct, right? And they're allergic, and the family can't
use it. What are you going to do with that?
Yeah, the property. part of my book has a special document in there to get you started to say, hey, you want to break down this information? It's just stuff we don't normally think about until there's a crisis. And sometimes the crisis is too late, right? And we don't know what to do. And then you're leaving all these decisions to other people, which is...
And you have to update it too, because things change. You know, we were doing some financial negotiation, and the account numbers have changed. And maybe I liquidated something and I needed to update something else. So there's a new beneficiary, or one of the beneficiaries has passed away.
I'll tell you two new things that have happened to me recently. When I went to my estate planning attorney, he says to me, he says, how old is your will? And I said, it's like 8 years old. He goes, oh, well, the rules changed. And the language that's in the old will is no longer able to hold up in probate court. I was like, what are you talking about? A will is a will. If I wrote it and it's witnessed, it should be good forever. He goes, not if you don't update it. And I was like, wow. So that's what I do every January. I get on and I invite people to join me to relook at their paperwork, start it if they haven't, give them the resources and the documents to get a good, not a proposal, but it's a good plan in place so that their affairs are at least known and recorded, and then to share it with somebody, at least one person that knows first where to find the documents and second, what are your wishes?
People don't do that. You know,
no, they don't.
For example, I can speak to what I know. African-American community, your family has worked for that 40 acres and that mule their entire life. And you won't even invest $700 or $800 to put the documents together. Now I get it, because you do have to, you have to take a helicopter view and pretend that you're dead.
Yeah.
And a succession plan. Okay. Well, if your kid precedes this person in debt, do you want it to go to their kids? And then where would it go after that? Because I'm looking at a picture of my family, and I was a nervous wreck because I'm the only one left in it.
Right.
So I know I'm the next one to go.
That's going to take us to a very, I'm going to share something with you in a minute about my bonus daughter, but I want to share something with you first. And that's that a succession plan is actually not a plan. It's a strategy. Right. So if you have, you're talking about your family, especially, and what you do within the family to leave money or leave some type of inheritance. Right. But what about succession for your business? There's many of us that have started businesses and spent thousands of dollars to get it off the ground. We're at a certain point. We have passwords. We have software we've purchased. We've got subscriptions to keep our business running. And then you're standing there, you're going, what if I was gone tomorrow? Who would take and know where to find my information? Who would take and run my business? And who has the same thoughts, like-mindedness that I do to make sure that my message carries out to the world?
With and who has the combination to the safe?
Who has that, right?
Yeah. Who has the extra key to the safety deposit box?
Just, and there's one
you
thing.
You can't just go to the bank and try to get in the safety deposit box, right?
And I'm telling you, I'm not trying to be morbid here. Death is colorless and death is timeless. You don't know when it's going to come, but it's going to. And it doesn't matter who you are, what color you are, because it's going to get you. And then at the end of the day, the best thing you can do, and I'm of faith, so I'm just like, I hope that I'm living a life that God sees as worthy of being here. And then at the other side of that is that I am also serving others to the point that they're like, hey, wake up. This is an important topic. This is something that should be taken care of. If you've got children, a home, you've got assets, it's time to sit down. If you don't know where to turn, you're not wanting to pick up the phone to talk to an attorney, that's what I do. Right. Pick up the phone, call me, and let me know that, hey, Paulette, can you share more information about what it takes to get my affairs in order? I would be happy to do so. Mm-hmm. Because, and then that leads into a bigger piece of work that I do, which is right. helping women to go from success to significance.
But I want to dial back just a little bit before we go into that. You know, you talked about having a bonus daughter.
Yes.
And so that is a big kerfuffle, brains, because really, I mean, you know, you're in love with this person, but when that person is deceased, you've got other contributing factors, other outside noise, other influences, their mother, their father, their aunt, thinking that they're entitled to something that you and your current wife have built and established. Be sure that you make provisions for your extended family, for your stepchildren. It's very, very important, because that argument, you know, people kill each other over stupid stuff.
Yes.
Who they feel is entitled to. Daddy said that I should have had this. I was his firstborn.
Yeah.
Make sure that that's clear. Make sure that it's clear. Sometimes the biological parent don't want you to have anything.
That's what I wanted to just share with you. I've got a daughter.
Yeah, I've got a girlfriend that has a business, and in her succession plan, she is really looking at carving that niche more to giving that business to the employees.
There you go.
Her children do not have a vested interest in that. Yeah. But it'd be great if you let them know, and they can be mad at you now before they, you know, before they dump your ashes in the garbage disposal. Because you have to let people know. And I know it's hard. You want to keep it a secret and the big reveal, but you can't do that. So tell me a little bit about your daughter. You
know, I was just going to say that there's a fear that we're not immortal, right? And to face the idea that, man, I'm going to be gone one day. And, you know, have I done enough with my life? And have I done what I wanted to do? And like you said, I have a bonus daughter. I birthed her when she was 10 years old. And at 10 years old, there's a lot of packages that come with this little one, and raising her through the years, there were things that occurred that all of a sudden we find out, wait a minute, we found her real mom. We found her real dad. She has a brother. She all of a sudden has three step siblings. Oh. Well, she also has grandparents that were personal friends, and we became the family unit to this young person. So here we are, non-biological family, right? A multitude of people around this one little girl, and the actual family, the birth family, the birth parents have no connection to her whatsoever. So when we sat down and said, okay, the grandparents asked me, will you take care of this young lady? Because we can't. And I stepped in and I was like, absolutely. I have space in my life and look forward to doing this, and brought her into my world. And she acceptingly stepped into it. This young person didn't realize the repercussions that can happen by not having affairs in order when the grandparents passed away and left her a trust. Mm. All of a sudden, family comes out of the woodwork, and it's just like, hey, I have rights to this. I have rights to this house. I have rights to this over here. I am the daughter, and I am the direct relation, next of kin, which is the legal lingo that sticks in court. And when you go to probate court, it's black and white. There is no emotion. They take the assets. They look at the debt. They sell the assets to pay the debt. Whatever is left over goes to next of kin. unless you have a will that sets up how you want to have things delegated and passed
away. And you're not considering the 30% that the probate attorney is getting off the top.
Yes, fees is a whole separate issue, and I can't talk to that, but I know that most people understand.
Well, I can talk to that in the situation. Right. That it's not pleasant. Who's the executor of the will? You know, no. The executor needs, you need to ask the executor. You don't just name people. Some people don't want that responsibility.
Oh, you said such a great comment there. You have to ask. Even though you want to leave somebody something, it's more important also to ask them if they're willing to receive it. Maybe they don't want your pet. Maybe they don't want your house. Maybe the executor doesn't want to see through your actions and wants it to go through an attorney because of some argument or some fear or whatever. Maybe they don't have time.
I had a hell of a time. My godmother passed away, bless her heart, and she wanted to leave me something, but she left me a cotton picking nightmare. She left me a piece of property that had a reverse mortgage on it.
Getting into the weeds on those kinds of details.
She didn't explain to me that. I didn't know what that was, and that was okay. I'm going in with one mindset, and then now I've got to go and reshuffle all of this and take on additional
responsibility. This is where, had your grandmother put together a will and what she wanted to have happen, that language would have come up and an attorney would have said to the person writing the will, your grandma, the executor will have my assistance to see through all these things that are going to require court.
Right, but see, at the time, again, that's why it's very important, as you said, to update your will, because she had created the will and she hadn't created the debt.
You know, April, I have people in my own life and clients who have said and brought in, oh my gosh, I remember this one gentleman. He was a veteran. He was older. He brings in a piece of paper, lined college paper. And it just said on there, I leave all of my belongings to my son, and signed it and witnessed it. There was no address. There was no name of the son. Mm-hmm. They do this with the good intentions, but that's not what stands up. This is 2022 and we've been through a lot. This pandemic, whatever you want to call it, has changed a gazillion things. Politics has changed. Well, guess what? So has the law around a will, around your estate, and around your assets. Mm. So I can't say strong enough. Go and get legal counsel to be able to talk about your unique situation, because no two people will have the same procedure.
Right.
I can give you the documents, which will be the starting of the process, and that will save you time and money. But I can't talk to you in terms of your situation as to the legalities or what have been involved to be able to see through your wishes.
Absolutely.
So that's where you want to get legal counsel for that. But boy, could we talk for days about stories. I will share with one more before we get off this topic. And that is, I went to a funeral. And this was a funeral of an acquaintance. And this acquaintance happened to be the head of a First Nations tribe. And it was a very spiritual ceremony. And I'm standing there, and this person that was leading the ceremony, he's not a shaman, but he is like that, walks up to me and he goes, oh, he says, I wanted to let you know that one of the last wishes was in this note that I was asked to give to you from the deceased. And I opened up the note and it said that I was the executor to his estate. And I was like, what? I'm not related. I don't know this person. I had a few great conversations with him. And here he is, the chief of this First Nations tribe. Mm-hmm. And his family finds out that I'm the executor. Do you know, the next day they went, and the children, he had three, each went and bought a brand new car. The mistress that he had been helping came out of the woodwork because there was a condo being supported by his estate. And the wife was standing there not knowing any of this because she was estranged from the kids because they were separated. And here I am at a funeral going to pay my respects and find out. So I wasn't asked. I wasn't prepared. I had to take and find a legal attorney who could take and manage this and put a family that was in disharmony and broken and grieving and try and get sense out of the nonsense. All that had to have happened was that I'd be notified that I was executor to the estate and that paperwork had been properly drawn up.
And so, you could have accepted or denied.
I could have accepted or denied, but in this case, I was standing there with a tremendous burden against somebody who I barely knew. And I'm just saying, that's how powerful even though you didn't get assigned something, how powerful the emotions are that come with somebody doing something that they think is good and simple, that can become very complicated and very unwarranted in terms of burden that you put onto people without realizing it.
Absolutely. So let's unpack your love for fashion and travel. Tell us a little bit about what you do with regards to style.
With regards to style, I'm a 27-year veteran where I fashion brands and put together assortments for major retailers and travel the world at a global level to set up manufacturing. And we produce those collections for those people, bring it back into their port of entry, mostly Canada and the United States. And we turn around and then they use our logistics and marketing expertise to be able to sell those collections back to us, the consumer.
Well, that's wonderful, because now even shopping has changed so much with COVID.
Big time.
And I'm a little disappointed. I like to go into the brick and mortar. I want to touch it. I want to feel it. I want to try it on. I want to walk right in the store with it to make a conscious decision. Do I really want it? I want to go to the shoe department to see if I got some shoes and some, you know, the makeup department to see what colors I'm going to wear with it. All of those things. Things have really changed with online shopping. Now I purchase things, I get them, you know, the size is subjective too.
Where it's being
manufactured.
Colors don't look the same.
Right. I am, I'm really pro American manufacturing. So I kind of look into that a little bit more. But the return policy on these online things, if it's not damaged, you're going to pay for shipping back where you didn't pay for it. Well, I guess you do kind of pay for it with gas going back to the department store.
You do, and time.
So different, and time. And putting things together, knowing your size, do a little measurement. You know, yes, it may be shocking. I was shocked. I was like, is that tiny?
Okay, then you do have to admit that the benefits of online is that you can be more honest, because there's many people that will go into a store fitting into a size 6 when they're a size 10.
Right.
And then in defense of the brands, what they pick as the measurement to be their fit model, right, and where they start from, right? Right. They're going to start from this shape and they're going to agree on what those measurements are going to be. And that can be a difference of 2 inches. Right. That's why you see something and it's like, holy cow, this is in the same department over here at, you know, Nordstrom, right, Saks, Dillard's, right, wherever you go.
And are those stores even in business now? Because, girl, I'm telling you that there's no brick and mortar.
Some of them are. I know.
Yeah. I mean, the Bloomies, the Saks, the Nordstrom.
I know. It.
Last time I've been in a Nordstrom's.
Yeah, I know that.
That used to be my
only Nordstrom's left. You've got Dillard's, and but people go online, and what they're doing is they're aligning themselves with other people's images and seeing themselves in those images and saying, well, I'm going to wear that because I'm like that and I look like that person. And that person's site put up a survey to say, am I a round? Am I a triangle? Am I a pear?
Right.
And then people are judging themselves and putting them into these pigeonholes and then trusting the selection from these stores to give them these products. So
another thing I want to bring real quick, Brains, be careful with these online promotions on social media, because these companies, baby, I bought a couple of them and they look so cute. Oh my God. And they've got your sizing and all that, and you get them and they are not cut properly. The zippers are not well. And then they're shipped from, I don't know.
Most of them are shipped from overseas. And I'll tell you, I ordered one thing. I think I still have the sweater because I laughed so hard when I got it. It was missing a sleeve.
Oh.
It came with one sleeve and it was a sweater. And I was just like, how did it even get into the bag? And I'm in the business. I'm just like, right, I can't imagine how fast they must be doing things to be able to take it into consideration.
Well, and you know what? They're not taking it into consideration. And then the return policy.
What I would do is
if you see something that you actually love, Yelp, Google, look for reviews, look at what other people's experiences have been before you shell out your money.
Yes.
Because then you're just going to be angry. But I have seen some wicked outfits, really, really cute stuff for fluffy girls or whatever.
Yep.
And you see it and it's fine. You might get a shoe with one heel. So all kind of fun stuff. But you also do an interesting thing with packing. You had a great Facebook post that you did where you show people how to pack for the weekend and how they roll their things. The thing that you did the thing that I do that you don't do is I pack, I color coordinate. So if I am going to wherever, I'm going to say, okay, my colors are going to be tan and brown with a little bit of orange. Everything is tan and brown. So wherever I am, if I decide to change it, my shawl, or if I, you know, my accessories or my pants or my shoes. So that was the only thing that was different, but you really showed people how to make it very compact and how to take that extra bag in the event that they have to take out some things and make a carry-on. Yeah. It's difficult now to travel.
It's very difficult. And I've traveled all through COVID. My fashion business has taken me there. And I just want to step back for one second. What the industry has evolved with is influencers. And the benefit about influencers is they are now going to put out high quality and do put out a higher quality collection. So if you can find somebody you admire, go down that route. But with regards to the packing, when I'm going to see these people or I'm going to go and meet a client, I don't have time to think about what I'm wearing. So your color coordination is amazing. I didn't say it in the video, but I do ground everything in black, because then I can take my accents and my accessories and keep it going. Because I travel so much and so often, I don't have as wide a wardrobe with the color. And color is getting better. I love teal. Like, teal is my favorite. The shawl you sent me, the pashmina, absolutely freaking stellar. And I had it on with just a simple aqua dress that was one of the shades that was in there. And dresses allows me to have a lot more options, right? Because you're taking fewer pieces. Right. So I love that you color coordinated your stuff. I'm going to update my video because of this conversation.
Oh, well, thank you. It just makes it easy for me, because if I just have on the black pants, I just got to change the top.
Exactly.
Because I was a horrible packer before. My husband's in the military. Now, you know.
Oh, man. Okay. What you're going through. We have a lot of military.
He can put it in a paper bag and get it all, you know. But me, I needed to have shoes for each one. When we went on a cruise, it'd be awful. I'd have to have shoes for each outfit and all the accessories. Wow. But how you told people to pack your accessories or underwear, put them inside of the shoe. So you save space. Yeah. Your jewelry, your toiletries, have a bag that opens up. There were so many great tips, Brains. I'm going to run it again because I really want you to see it and take advantage of it. They're charging you $50 to $75 each bag.
Yes.
Each bag. Yes.
And I think I said in the video, I was like, I wonder if people understood what I was saying. I had a bag I was not checking.
Right.
That went with me to the gateway, and they insisted I check it at the door of the plane.
What?
And they did that, yes, because they actually had a scale and weighed it there. That's how tight they're getting. So because I was a half an inch, what they said, over, and a pound and a quarter, I just said to them, I said, you can have my bag. But I took the bag that was inside and took everything and put it in that duffel. And the reason why I stated the Vera Bradley quilted weekender duffel is because of the size. And because the straps are sewn around the whole body of the bag, that thing, I am not exaggerating, has lasted me years. Mm. Versus getting some of these other nylon totes and stuff where the zipper will break or it frays or it separates because the fabric can't keep up with the, you know, face it. There's a lot of bantering and a lot of banging around that this bag goes through between ground and chairs and everything else, right? So you want something that's going to last. So I know that people are just like, wow, that's a bulky bag you put in there. And I said, uh-huh, because I put my shoes in it coming back, my souvenirs coming back. And in case I'm told I have to check my bag, I'm sorry, ladies, but I am not going to ever put my stuff on the plane from my carry-on. It will go in a bag with me. And believe it or not, they will let you carry the backpacks and a shoulder bag that is way beyond the measurements. Versus a carry-on or carry-all has to meet very specific measurements and weight.
And don't get to the gate and talk too much smack, because you
will not
get on the plane. People are acting so ugly on the plane right now. They'll, you know, they have no problem with denying your ticket and putting you on the no-fly list.
So, and I saw a gentleman escorted off. They were nice about it, but he mouthed off. And all it was the woman took his bag and he took it back. And she went and said, "Sir, I have got to move this to the back of the plane." He was in first class and it wouldn't fit. It was full, right? All the bins were, the overhead bins were full. And he goes, "I will not have it go to the back. I paid for my first class ticket." Anyways, he was insistent that he had rights. And she said, "I'm sorry, if you raise your voice," and this is where it went wrong, "I'm going to have to take you off the plane."
Ouch!
And of course that aggravated him. Pilot comes out. There was a marshal sitting on the plane. I haven't seen a marshal in a couple of years. And he's just, they were nice about it. And this guy, of course, beat red, calms down afterwards and realizes the severity of the situation over getting impatient and getting defensive about something that wanted to have happen. So just go with an open mind.
Absolutely.
Be prepared. Have what you need to change the situation. If they're going to take your bag, repack it. There's also some little envelopes you can get to put your clothes in. If some people are shy about seeing, having others see their underwear or having others see dirty clothes, and they don't want dirty clothes to mix with clean. I mean, some people have different parameters, right? So you can get little Ziploc bags that are, they're big enough. They're not the size of Ziploc. They're much bigger, but you can pack your clothes in there nice and flat. The problem is you can't quite get as much as the way I was showing people to pack with rolling.
And yeah. And just brains, just be patient. Enjoy travel. Know that it is an adventure.
Yes.
Even if it's a business trip, it is an adventure. You take people on adventures with the mastermind. Tell me about your mastermind.
Yeah, our mastermind is called, we have two steps. It's success to significance. And the women that join me there, we go through what it takes to get this adventure, soul nurturing and discovery back into your life. And we go through how to make that happen. And then at the same time, a lot of these women are professional. They have businesses and they want to be able to hit some of these items on their honey bucket list or their bucket list, if you want to call it that. And they're just saying, "Hey, I want to go and have that special weekend in the South, right? In South America or wherever they're going to go. Or I want to be able to go and see a particular event in my life and the tulips in Holland or whatever." These events we put together with people by giving them the structure and the strategies on what they can do to make it happen with a time schedule, if that makes sense, so that you're not taking and depleting resources that are meant for something else in order to do this adventure to come back stressed or more stressed than when you left, right? So the Success to Significance is an 8-week class that I give on getting our mojo back in order and getting our affairs in order and getting a plan in place to be able to take and do these things that we want to do and picking one at a time, right? And how to do that. That then leads to an invitation for people to join me on an annual mentoring brainstorming circle. So I love your title of your brains because we do brainstorming. And that is to a positive. That is to get women together that are like-minded and say, "Look, not only do we have a little money in the bank, but we've got a little bit of time and we've learned how to carve it and put time aside for us to think." And that thinking involves what can we do for others? It can start first with ourselves, then to our family, to our community, to our state, to our nation, to the world. And you pick where you want that to go. And what it takes to do that is networking. And networking is tough if you're in a silo and you're an entrepreneur and you're doing things on your time. It's a little lonely on the online side of the world. And professional women, I think, especially those over 40, are finding out kids are getting ready to leave home. They've got a few assets under their belt. They've got a little bit of more time and money to spend on personal development. But personal development and motivation is not the same thing as significance.
Right.
And significance means that you're doing something that's going to leave an impact. That leads us back to the legacy message. What can you do that will be generational and that will be generational with a positive impact?
That's
so
awesome.
That means creating influence now. And that's what it is. I go through the how to do that. I'll have a brief conversation about it tomorrow for a couple of hours. I'm going to give people an overview of what's involved with this. And you're welcome to join me. We're in the Women of Significance. It's a Facebook group. It's free, but I think you'll get some really valuable information. And I got a couple fun giveaways too that people will appreciate.
Yes, I appreciate that. So tell them again how to get in contact with you if they want more information on the packet to prepare for estate planning. For maybe, you know, we might have a retailer online.
Looking absolutely. Yes, if anybody's out there, anybody's out there and's got a collection that they think is worthy of producing and you're an influencer, I am your woman. Or you've got, you know, things you want to do and questions with regards to fashion, would love to do that. But Success to Significance is the masterclass that I'm putting together. That's tomorrow. The group where I always am, where I spend most of my time connecting with people, is called The Women of Significance, and that's in Facebook. And then if you want to reach me directly, my email is hello@paulettehamill.com.
Well, all the I's and the T's and have been crossed. I'm so excited to have had you here. You have been a wealth of information. You're so pleasant, beautiful smile, a lot of great information that you have provided me and my brains, because we need that. You know, we need to.
We do, April.
We need to slow down. Everything is going at warp speed. You don't have to be a follower. I'm looking for leaders. Yeah. Take your time. Be strategic. Be smart with your assets. Be smart with your information. Communicate. Everything doesn't have to be top secret. There are some people that you can trust. Or what you can do is a third party. Maybe there is an attorney's office, or maybe there is a, I don't know, there's a bank or a banking officer. But ask those people, okay? Ask them if it's okay. Don't just be at the funeral and say, oh, here, now you're the executor. You got to take care of me, my kids, and my girlfriend.
Anybody who has special needs children or has aging parents, if there are joint accounts involved, especially if any of these people are of adult age, right? 18 and older.
Right.
You want to have signing rights on the account at the bank. That's something that's very important that has to be done in person. But that allows you to pay bills and take care of things once somebody passes away.
Right.
So another thing to consider.
It's a lot. It's a lot. And you have been a wealth of information, brains. There's so much to cover. Paulette's going to come back and see me again. She's going to keep me updated as to what's going on. I want you to take advantage of her online program. Go in. If you miss this one, there's always going to be more, because she's ever evolving. Information is changing. But we want to keep you posted right here on The Edge. The place where that conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, the responses are never dull. Where's your postcard, Paulette?
It's right here, darn it.
I want you to be a part of what's going on here. All right, friends, like, love, subscribe to everything, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. That's how we keep you informed on what's going on. And also go in there and check your will. Now you got me. I'm going to go check mine and make sure it's updated.
Do it now. It's the beginning of the year. Everything's fresh.
You know what? In my situation, folks done passed away. So I got to check it out. All right. So thank you so much for being here with us. I appreciate and value you.
Likewise, my friend. It's a pleasure. And God bless all of these women out here. This is going to be an incredible, incredible new year. Let's 2022 be great for all of us, men included.
That's right. We like you, men.
We do.
All right.
Thank you so much, April.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.